kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Just exhort this evening, and I have a title here which we're going to discuss and look at, and it's simply called Contend Earnestly for the Faith. Contend Earnestly for the Faith. And of course I am basing this today from the book of Jude, this small epistle, and Jude verse 3, which I'm sure all of you know, but we'll have a look at this. And it says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." Now, just to briefly get into this as to why Jude is writing in such a manner is because he is seeing apostasy arising. And this apostasy is happening because there are false teachers emerging, twisting, changing, attacking the Word of God and the message of faith. And so he has to deal with this because it's causing Christians to compromise, falling away, all the usual attacks that happen when the Word of God is attacked in such a way. And nothing really has changed, other than the fact that we now are experiencing the falling away. This here in what he's writing is a falling away. And that's bad enough. But what we now are experiencing is the falling away. And there is a greater and more powerful attack, particularly on the Word of God. Our faith, which we glean from, which we hear. And this is why I'm calling this Contend Earnestly for the Faith. Now, there are several things that I want us to consider that we are to contend earnestly for the faith. And we need to be aware when faith is being opposed. And unless we are grounded in the Word of God, unless we walk by faith and we desire the Word of God to take hold of our lives, to be the principle that we walk by, that we stand on the Word and the promises of God's Word, there are going to be times when it is tested and will be opposed. And that is, of course, why Jude is writing this small epistle, because the Word is being opposed. It's being attacked. And he says that you're to contend earnestly for it, all delivered to the saints, that was once delivered, what you heard, what you were presented with. A, it hasn't changed, and B, the powers of darkness are attacking it in order to try and change your mind and your thinking toward the Word of God. And I think, brothers and sisters, we are under attack at times more than we realize with regard to our faith, our belief. And God will permit and allow us to be placed in situations where are we going to be defenders of God's truth, his word, or are we going to compromise in a situation? And we know, often find this, than right in our families, our own children, even our mother, our father, we are tested right in those situations, as close as that, with regard to the faith. And this is why I'm calling this, contend earnestly for it, for the faith. Do not let it go, because it is under attack. Now, there are going to be times when it will face difficulties, and that is faith. We're looking at this word, contend earnestly, and I'm showing you various ways in which the Word of God and your experience that you face will be with regard to God's Word. The days of compromising, the days of trying to side with our family simply to keep the peace, has to go. If we love God's Word, if we love him and we follow him, then we take the consequences just like Jesus said. He said that if they attacked me and persecuted me, they will do it to you as well. And this is where we're going to be tested. And if we fail in these tests, this will hinder our faith to believe. We know that faith comes by hearing, reading the Word of God, but we're also tested with it in order for our faith to wax stronger and bolder. And that is why we have to contend earnestly for the faith. And we will find at times there are difficulties with regard to faith. We find that it's not easy because of circumstances or certain trials or certain situations that are going on, or we're just finding it difficult to hold on to it. These are experiences that we have to go through. Just finding it difficult to hold on to all that I've learned, all these principles that are in the Word of God. I find it difficult. Now, if we walk humbly before God, which we're to do, then we have to confess that. And we have to be honest with that before God. There are times I find faith, contending earnestly for the faith, difficult. But praise God, Jesus has overcome all things. So it is possible, even though it's difficult. Or another area that we can have to contend with the faith is when you're struggling. Have you ever found yourself struggling? Struggling with the faith, struggling to maintain that confession, that belief, a feeling that you're going under, you're being consumed by it all? Of course you have. And this is where we contend earnestly for the faith. And we will go through these experiences. The Bible is absolutely clear that we do, for the very purpose that we contend earnestly for the faith, because it's under attack. That is why. The enemy is trying to attack us both individually, corporately, because he doesn't want you to believe and stand on the Word of God. And so what do we believe? We may find ourselves struggling. We may find ourselves in difficulty. But the good news is it won't last. It's just for a season. I am being tested. You see? Praise God, there is always a positive confession, promise that can get us to overcome in every situation. We're also told to contend earnestly for the faith, because there are times when it's going to be open to debate. In other words, you may be asked about the faith, or you may be asked about your belief, your stand as a Christian, and you need to know the Word of God. You need to know the promises of God to give that right answer. You will be placed at times in situations like that. And so it is still contending earnestly for the faith. There may be times you contend for the faith because you will find that the word is being disputed. Somebody is trying to trip you up or deny what you believe and what you're saying. And this is why at times we need to know the word and to be able to quote the word of God. Jesus did when he was in the wilderness, being tempted by the enemy, because it's under dispute. And as I said, you can get this right in your own family, your relations. They don't like what we have to say because we believe and trust and confess the word of God. This is all what it means to contend earnestly for the faith, which is going to save you, and your prayers of faith, and faith for your loved ones, family, and so on. Unless we pass this test, there's not much guarantee they're going to get saved. So this is important, brothers and sisters, what we're talking about here. Do you contend earnestly because you are a defender of the faith? There is another one where we're to contend earnestly because I defend the faith that I believe, the word that I stand on. That Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He has dealt with sin at the cross. That you need to be a new creation, born again. So much of that is watered down today, that you can be accepted as a church member or call yourself a Christian, but they do not have the experience of the new birth. There's not that desire for the word of God. They're not defenders of the faith. Do we fall into that category? We need to be on our guard. There are times God is going to test us to see what we are believing, whether we're influenced by the word of God or we're influenced by vain philosophy and stupid talk. We all get drawn into these traps at times, or the Lord is allowing it to see whether we are going to defend the faith in this situation or not. When they're blaspheming, when they're talking sin and promoting the pride of this world, are we going to be defenders of the faith or not? Are we going to contend for the faith when they try to alter the word of God? When they try to change it? When they try to tell you that Christ doesn't heal today? He only uses medical science. He only uses the arm of the flesh. And so it goes on. Are we going to contend earnestly for the faith in this or not? These are the questions. Because God is expecting this from this assembly, from what you hear twice a week. Is this word changing my life? Is it making me an example of the Lord Jesus Christ Am I waxing bold in the faith? These are the questions. Or does every time the enemy has something or he just makes a growl, we run away or we compromise? Or we leave it to somebody else? Those days are gone, brothers and sisters. Because we are living now in the great falling away. The nations are pagan, godless. And we need to wake up to this and get delivered from it, because it's hindering our growth. Do we contend earnestly for the faith when people start arguing? Oh, and they'll argue with you. Not that we are to fall into an argument. Jesus faced it. And sometimes he walked away, or he kept his mouth shut, or there are times when he simply spoke a few words. These are all things that we face as believers, where we are to contend earnestly for the faith. And if you've not encountered just some of those things I've said there, you will. You will. You see, all of this can really be summed up in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. And here he says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So he's really speaking there about being defenders of the gospel. Let your conduct be worthy of what? The gospel of Christ. That's what I live by. That is my life. It is my breath. It is my confession. It is my action. It is everything. That is what we are to live by. And that is what he's saying to the church at Philippi. In other words, he's saying, contend earnestly for the faith, because it's going to be opposed. And the powers of darkness have a field day. And sadly, they're cleverer and they overwhelm us. But we have to rise up. And there are times when we have to say, enough. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You see, we all have to be on the same path with faith. He says it here. I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In other words, that striving, it's working, it's contending. We're all in it together. That is what it means. I spoke about this on Sunday. Our unity, our fellowship. This is what it's meaning here. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6? Chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So we are to walk worthy of this calling. And there are times we have to contend earnestly for the faith, because our walk, our faith, is under attack. And he says, this is how you do it: with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. In other words, absolute humility. no pride, no arrogance, haughtiness that we are still at times affected with. Endeavouring to keep the unity, the spirit, in bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as we were called in one hope, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I know I recited that on Sunday, but I think it's worth mentioning again in the context of what we're looking at, and that is contending earnestly for the faith. The only way this is going to be achieved, brothers and sisters, it's not in your strength. It's not you trying this. It's as we walk in loneliness. In other words, humility, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. That is how the power of God in our lives to be able to rise up against the powers of darkness will enable us to be able to overcome. And you will. You mark my words. He will make you a defender. He will make you jealous for the word of God. Jealous for these promises. Jealous for his glory. He'll work that if you want it. And that's why you see each step of faith, there is a new experience, something more to learn. This is why it's an ever ongoing subject. I've lost counts how many times I've preached on faith. I've lost count years ago. And you know why? Because there's a new experience. There's something new to learn with regard to faith. Faith never stops. It always has something new to teach one. There is always something new coming out that we have to learn. And that we allow the Holy Spirit to take the reins of our life in order to accomplish all that needs to be done for his glory. There's no way you can walk this otherwise. It's completely and utterly impossible. And so, it's very simple, but I wrote something down when I was thinking about this, meditating, and I said, its application is simple, its learning and experience is vast, endless. The application, it's simple. Jesus said, just believe. Just believe like a child. But its learning experience is vast and ongoing. And always something to learn. And in this case where we're dealing with faith, we're talking about to contend earnestly for the faith. And we have to, brothers and sisters. What we believe, what we hold to, what we confess, what we stand upon, is under attack. Mark my words. The enemy so often comes like an angel of light. And sadly, the angel of light is right in your family. And that's why we fall for it. But there has got to come a time now when we rise up and we stand upon the word of God and we do not compromise in it. This was the problem God had with the children of Israel. Every time they kept compromising with God's word. And much of that compromising was involved idols, idolatry. If your heart is still in the world, you will compromise on the word of God. That is not rocket science. You will not find that you can contend earnestly for the faith. because you mix the world's views with the Word of God. And you mix the Word of God with the world's views. And that's what so much of Christendom does today. And that's why it's weak and ineffectual. You are opposed today when you stand firm and believe on something that is black and white. You find great opposition today because man wants to live in the grey areas of compromise. But God doesn't let us have that luxury. He calls us to contend earnestly for the faith. And he says, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Because he says, anything other than that is devilish, demonic. There you are. I didn't say that. The Word of God says that. And all I find myself saying is, Lord, have mercy on me. Deliver me. Because that's what it takes. It's when God opens our eyes to ourselves, to our actions, to the words, the things we say. It's when he starts to open our eyes, you know, you bow your head in shame. But that is good for us. That is what changes us. And if we truly love God, then we ask, Lord, don't let me walk in blindness. Open my eyes that I may see. Because in that seeing, we then can repent. And we have then a changed mind and heart and attitude. And guess what? You find you rise up in the power and strength of God and you contend earnestly for the faith. And it's a joy and it's a privilege. What a privilege to be able to stand on the Word of God, to confess His Word, to believe His Word, to defend His Word and to live by this Word. What a privilege! Of course the world doesn't like us. Yes, they reject us. So what? It's nothing in comparison to eternity. It's nothing in comparison to walking with the Lord. And that is the whole point. The enemy comes to us with such a liar. And of course he tries to influence our emotions, our feelings. That's what he tries to do. But we know that they don't save us. We know that by holding on, believing, standing on his word is our salvation. And that's why we contend earnestly for the faith. Well, as I bring this to a conclusion, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Now what it means here, it's hidden truth. This is why I say so often, it is revelation. You cannot get this through the human intellect. You cannot get this by reading a newspaper or listening to the news or what people say or debates or whatever it is. You do not get it from that. You get it by revelation from God. That is truth. And he will open our ears and eyes. And whatever he gives us will never be contrary to the word of God. But that's what he means here in verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. So he says, not only is it a mystery, it's a revelation, it's hidden. But he says, you also need a pure conscience. So in other words, when I received this faith, When God is planting seed in my heart, I have the right heart, I have the right motive, I have come before God in the right heart and spirit. And this is why I keep saying to you, you need to pray before you come to these meetings. You need to make sure you are right with God, that there is nothing defiling, because if it is, it's going to hinder the faith in your life. Because it's hidden truth. So will we contend for the faith? That is the question that God has raised this evening. Why is this so important? Well, let's look to something that we know very well. We've looked at a lot over the years, but we'll look to it again. And that is in Luke 18 and verse 8. Luke 18 and verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Here it is. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What a question. He could say, will he find faith with a few? Will he find faith amongst professing believers? You know, he could have used all those terms, but he doesn't. He says, will he really find faith on the earth itself? People, in other words, are there any who really do believe? He's not talking about those confessing themselves or saying they're Christian. He's talking here about those who contend earnestly for the faith, who love the word of God and desire to live by the word of God. That is what he's saying. Well, I can't answer that question because it has a question mark to it. That's what he says. I can imagine, I can have some ideas, but I can't answer that because that is what he asks. That is what he's asking himself. This is his question. This is what he is saying. Will I find faith, faithfulness on the earth? That is only something he knows. He can answer. We can't. There are things where we let God be God. But that is what he raises. So will we contend then for the faith? It's interesting, he says all of this right in the parable of the persistent widow. And we all know that story where she knocks at the door to get the judge up, and he gets up in the end in case she wears him out. And it's right in the context of what he says there. And he says, will I find that sort of faith? Will I find a faith that is persistent, that's desperate for change, that keeps knocking until these breakthroughs come in my life? Am I finding anybody contending for the faith, earnestly for the faith, knocking and knocking just like this widow is? So that my life can change and conform what is required here. Right in the same context. That's what he says he's looking for. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that's what he's looking for in FGA. So there we are, contending earnestly for the faith. It is the mercy and grace of God. And we are completely at his mercy and grace. And God will give us a heart's desire if that is truly what we want. Those are the prayers that we should be praying for, believing for, pressing in for. Because the word is under attack in these last days. The spirit of this age, the Antichrist system that is now spreading over the earth, is trying to destroy the faith, the belief of faith, the confession of faith, and certainly out to try and destroy those who contend earnestly for the faith. We have a choice, brothers and sisters, and God never forces us. But we've come thus far, we have heard and we've seen and we've tasted, and we know that the promised land is a good land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. And even though the mountains and the giants are opposing, we are well able to take the land. It is there for us. It's our inheritance, brothers and sisters. So let's contend earnestly for the faith. Praise God.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.